Welcome to Excited by the Science, brought to you by the experts at EdOns.
Hi, I'm Tina. Many journals are now requiring authors to include a highlights or key points section in their manuscript. This section generally goes after the title and just before the abstract. It typically contains 3 to 5 bullet points, around 80 characters each, and is designed to capture the attention of human readers and computer search engines by drawing attention to the novel results of the study. It's an opportunity to attract people to come and find out more about your research. But it's not always easy to write a compelling highlight section that adds value to what are already there in the title and the abstract. So today, I'd like to share with you an article that has a highlight section that effectively conveys the study results and their implications. On top of that, it is a good example of a study with a clear goal that runs consistently throughout the different sections of the paper. And plus, it also has an extensive discussion on the assumptions of the model that was used in the study and the uncertainties. This study is a collaboration between a nonprofit organization and Duke University in the United States. It looks at how often a person can eat fish caught in the rivers and lakes in the United States before the levels of certain chemicals in their blood serum become very high. And the chemicals that this study focused on are the family of perfluoroalkyl and polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAS. These chemicals have been produced and used globally since the 1950s. They have nonstick properties, are resistant to grease and water, and you probably have them around you in your food packaging, nonstick frying pan, and stain-resistant carpet. These chemicals are extremely stable, which means they stay in the environment for a very long time. And so they are commonly referred to as the forever chemicals. In addition to being around forever, they are also found everywhere, in water, soils, animals, even in the Arctic and the Antarctic. So most people have some levels of these compounds already in our bodies. These compounds can bioaccumulate over time and can have human health effects, such as suppression of immune system, increased risk of cancer, neurotoxicity, and hormonal toxicity. And now in this study, the author's goal is to evaluate to what extent eating freshwater fish contributes to PFAS levels in humans. And the different sections in the article clearly follow one another to build towards this goal. So the authors first analyzed PFAS in freshwater fish caught from across the United States, then modeled and estimated the levels of these compounds in the serum of people who would have eaten similar fish, and finally compared their results with what is in the official fish consumption advisories. They found that eating freshwater fish just once a month could more than triple the levels of PFAS in a person's blood serum over a year. And that they also found that there are very few public fish consumption advisories that sufficiently reflect this relationship. The 5 bullet points of the highlight section succinctly convey the findings on where the fish with PFAS are, how much PFAS are in them, how much of this fish can a human eat before the PFAS levels in their bodies become very high, and what are the associated policies to protect people's health. So where? How much? Implications on human health and policy. I find these bullet points to be clear and impactful, and they don't just repeat what is in the abstract. They also bring additional information. Now, modeling how eating fish would change the levels of chemicals in blood serum involves making some assumptions. So there is an extensive section in the paper where the authors explain the model assumptions and uncertainties. For some authors, they might consider that these explanations detract from their main message, and they may choose to put them into the appendix or supplementary materials. But if this information is not included anywhere in the submitted manuscript, this may lead to reviewers requesting for major revision or resubmission in some cases. So I highly recommend reading this paper, not only for its informative content, but also for its impactful highlights, clear structure, and detailed treatment of assumptions and uncertainties. Thank you very much for spending time with me today. I look forward to seeing you again soon. Bye-bye.
Asking the right questions is key to making breakthrough scientific discoveries and advancements. And as the research landscape grows more competitive and complex, finding innovative, interdisciplinary research ideas is more important than ever. The right questions address the most important issues in your field and make it easier for you to conduct high-impact research. At EdOns, we can help you to generate these questions, outline a potential study, and present it in a way that helps you to secure funding and quickly make your idea a reality. Our team of creative experts will conduct a deep analysis of the research landscape in your field, identifying gaps, finding the right questions, and helping you find inspiration for your next project. We can also help develop innovative study concepts, a synopsis, and a full protocol, so you'll have a study that is very likely to be accepted by a high-impact, peer-reviewed publication. Let EdOns help you to make informed decisions, save time, money, and resources, so that you can advance your field and make the world a better place.